We're talking crime in Calaveras County on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're joined on the program by Sheriff Rick DeBasilio. Sheriff DeBasilio, as we talked about wildfires ending in the last segment, I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, waterway safety. You know, what are you noticing so far this summer when it comes to the local waterways?
Well, the waterways are busy. As you well know, the lakes are very low right now. I know that the Delta's got some issues. They've actually put in some rock dams to try and keep the salt water from coming up into the Delta because of the drought, not having the runoff from the mountains. So we're seeing a lot of people on the waters because they're not staying in the Delta. They're coming to the lakes. We've been lucky, knock on wood, that we haven't had a lot of incidents on the water. We assisted Tuolumne with a drowning victim in Maloney's, and we had a drowning victim in Maloney's on our side. Other than that, we've been doing pretty good. We made it past the 4th of July weekend without any major incidents. So it's just people need to be aware that when they're on the lakes, just like being in a car, no drinking and driving. If you have children under 12, they should be wearing a life vest. Jet skiers, the wakeboarders, they should all be wearing a life vest at all times. You never know, you can fall off a wakeboard and hit your head on the wakeboard and knock yourself out and you're down. Those life vests are there for a reason. So people really need to pay attention to safety on the water because the water is unforgiving.
Mentioned those boating incidents. Have you had many search and rescue calls so far this year or this summer?
We haven't had any search and rescues. So we're
That's great to hear.
Again, knock on wood, we've been very fortunate, yes.
Next thing I want to ask you about is marijuana grow bus. Is that something that the sheriff's office is still pretty active with?
We are. I actually brought some stats for you. Last year, we did 77 grows. This year here right now, we're at 48 grows, so we're already 62% of where we were. So we're doing real well. We've pulled last year 37,000 plants, and this year to date we're at, and these were done last week, we're at 40,000, just over 40,000 plants, which is 108% above where we were last year at this time. So we're on track to exceed where we were last year. The Board of Supervisors has given me another position for the marijuana enforcement team, our MET team. So that's going to help. We won't be able to probably put that person in place until the fall of this year because of other things going on within the sheriff's office. But we're doing good. We're seeing, I won't say a downward trend, but we're seeing less of the illegal grows that we did back in the 16 and 17 days. Legal growers are helping us and, you know, saying, hey, there's these people over here, you might want to check on them, which is a good thing for us. Their eyes and ears, they know who's legal and who's not, too. So we're doing pretty good. We'll just keep moving along. The Board of Supervisors, I gave some stats to the board the other day at the last board meeting, and this kind of opened their eyes a little bit as far as outdoor sites. We had five sites are that were eradicated at least twice. We had four sites that were eradicated, we had one site that was eradicated four times. We had two sites that were eradicated five times, three sites eradicated three times, and 25 sites that were had been eradicated at least twice. So there's an issue there. And our indoor grows have gone up. In 2019, we did 15 indoors. 2020, we did 10. And to date, we're already at 15 indoor grows for 2021. People are coming in and they're paying cash for these homes. And they're the average home, Greg Whalen, our cannabis control director, gave a price of a median price of the homes that were being used for indoor grows. The price was $650,000. So they're not bashful on what homes that they're eradicating. And they're beautiful homes. They're just gutting them on the inside.
You know, once you go in and you take the marijuana out, what happens to the drug at that point?
We actually take the marijuana down to our landfill, and it gets buried. It's got so much moisture in it that within 4 or 5 minutes it turns into goo, so it's really not worth anything. But we take the armed security guards down, you know, armed officers down, and watch them bury it and then stand around for at least 15 or 20 minutes There's really not much else we can do with it. Can't burn it. Mm-hmm. That would cause some problems. And we can't sell it to the legal people because the federal government would not like the sheriff's office selling marijuana. We're not in the marijuana retail business.
I'm sure you get some smell complaints if you burned it as well.
Oh, yeah, many.
You know, the fact that you're having so many repeat offenders, that's pretty eye-opening. Any reason as to why you're seeing that happening?
Well, the biggest problem is that when we go and eradicate a site, judge won't give us a search warrant approval to take all the lighting and all the fixtures that go along with that marijuana grow site. We don't have the area to keep it. That's the bigger reason. You could fill up a 30 by 30 room in a very short period of time with all the accessory items that it takes to grow the marijuana. The pesticides that are out there, there's just too much to take. So our focus is taking the plants, making sure if there's any guns on the site, we take the guns. If there's any large amounts of cash, we use that for asset forfeitures, which is one of the things I bought my tractor with that we talked about last year. So it's just the limitations of the sheriff's office's abilities. I don't know that anybody takes any of that stuff, and that's the problem. They go right back.
For anyone unfamiliar, that tractor that you mentioned, what is that piece of equipment and how is it used with these marijuana grow bus?
We actually, again, with the asset forfeiture money, we bought a Ford F-350, a trailer, and a Cat skid steer. It's a track loader so that we can eradicate the marijuana more efficiently. Instead of having guys going and pulling these plants out of the grounds, we can take the tractor and just drive over them and clam them with the front end of the loader. We actually picked up some new cordless sawzalls for cutting the plants down as opposed to using hand clippers. So we've really mechanized the eradication process, which has allowed us to go from doing one grow a day to sometimes two and three grows a day. So it's really sped the process up, which again is reflected in the stats from my marijuana team. They're doing a phenomenal job.
When you come across these sites, whether indoor or outdoor, do you see quite a bit of damage to the land or the houses too that they're taking place at?
I would say the houses more, because they'll actually gut the inside of a house. And if they're not careful, the black mold that comes with the moisture from the growing the marijuana destroys the inside of the house. And as far as outside grows, you know, they're changing the landscape. The marijuana growers that are doing it legally in our county, you know, they're getting grading permits and they're doing everything the way that needs to be done. The illegal people, they don't care. They never have. And that's the problem.
Hey, we need to take one more break. We're talking with the Sheriff of Calaveras County, Rick DiBasilio, getting us up to speed on various crime trends and challenges facing the Sheriff's Office on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to turn our attention to local education. Local schools in Tuolumne County will be starting up in the coming weeks. We're going to be joined on the program by Kathy Parker, Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools. She's going to talk about things like enrollment trends and initiatives that she has with the Superintendent of Schools office. Also, get us up to speed on what parents and students can expect when it comes to things like COVID-19 protocols and the new rules and requirements from the state that they'll have to abide by in the coming weeks and months as the new school fall semester gets underway. So again, that's next week on Motherlode Views. Also, if you missed this show or any others, you can find them archived on mymotherlode.com. So Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment with Sheriff Rick DiBasilio is coming up in just a minute.